I'd like to say I'm very grateful today for salvation. I'm still saved since the last time you saw me, and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for the hospitality that's been shown to me since we have been here. Of course, it's what you expect with the people of God, that there is an expectation that we have that the Lord, the people of God, sometimes we're closer to saints than we are to our own families. There seems like we have more in common with the people of God than we do with some of the people in our own family. So when we speak about there being the family of God, you know, some of the people that we just met, and there's this witness in our spirit that these individuals are part of the family of God. That's a wonderful thing, and I thank the Lord for that. And I desire that you would pray for us and with us as we share the word of God with you. Desire that you would I want to just give this little preface here. That you'd pray for us here, there in Dallas. We're fighting the devil just like you are here. And we appreciate how the Lord has blessed us there, but we still need the prayers of the saints. We want to turn to a familiar text of scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we want to read let's just start at the first verse. If you have it, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent, I'm bold, so I can speak to you. I'm speaking to you with a level of authority here. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So he's saying here, we're not one that walk according to the flesh. All right? For though we walk in the flesh, there's a difference in walking in the flesh and walking according to the flesh. So he says here, for we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he's talking here about weapons. We heard a little bit about that earlier. They're weapons, but these are not carnal weapons. These are weapons, spiritual weapons, and we need to have an understanding to some degree of what some of these weapons are. If we were to say, what are the weapons of our warfare? When you take into consideration a warfare, there is no such thing as a war, and there's not some kind of weaponry that's used. We are in the situation now, unfortunately, that our nation is dropping some bombs on other nations. We've been in wars before, and we unfortunately look like we're being pulled into a war now. I'm not going to talk about politics, but I am talking about here, there is a spiritual warfare that is going on. The enemy of our soul is after every one of us here, from the least to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest. The devil is after you. And so he says here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? You might say a stronghold is a fort, you might say, in a war zone where there is a protected area. So there are some areas in people's lives that need to be pulled down. And the way for that to be pulled down is the weaponry that the Lord has for his people. And one of the things that I want to talk about today, the major weapon that I'd like to talk about, which is a weapon of prayer. Prayer is a necessity. It is how anyone that is, every one of us that were saved, we came to the Lord by prayer. And not only did we come when we bowed at an altar of prayer and we made a confession of our sins and we asked the Lord to come into our heart, we did that by prayer. But let me tell you, what really happens is that there is a lot of prep work that's done behind the scenes. There are people that are praying for the unsaved right now. All of us. One of the things that we often put in a request for, are there any unsaved loved ones? Every one of us has somebody that we know that doesn't love the Lord. Now, they won't put it in that kind of they won't say it like that. They'll say, well, you know, I love the Lord, but I'm just not saved right now. I'm not doing what I know to do right now, but eventually I'm going to get there. But do you realize and understand that we have to pray for those individuals? And the only reason that any of us are saved in here today is because somebody prayed for us. Somebody prayed for us. All right? So, yes? Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. All right? So what we have to understand here is that we must have a readiness when our obedience, readiness to revenge all disobedience after we've done what we're supposed to do. All right, I want to bring out a few points here. I want to just kind of lay that as a foundation. We want to lay that down, and we want to turn to scripture that we used yesterday, James, the 5th chapter. We want to read the 16th verse there. If you have it, you can read it for us, James 5, and pray for us, and we'll be able to share with you what the Lord wants us. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it says here, we talked a little bit about that in our Sunday school lesson, which I felt was real good. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. Our responsibility is to pray for each other. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer, and this is the portion of the scripture that we want us to get a hold of. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So there is a way for us to pray more effectually. Lord, help us to be able to pray in a more effective prayer. And what the Lord wants His people to know and to understand, that prayer is a simple weapon. It's not something that's complicated. It's not something that you've got to pray like old sister so-and-so or old brother so-and-so. They were real prayer warriors. The Lord wants you to understand that you can pray a simple prayer and the Lord hears and answers prayer. What we have to understand is that, Lord, I have to believe it in my heart, and I have to pray sometimes, Lord, give me a more effective prayer. Help my prayer life to be more effective. What I've learned over the years is when people are not very victorious in their spiritual life, oftentimes you can go right back and trace it right back to that they don't have much of a prayer life. Lord, help us that we can pray more. All right, now I want us to go, talking about effectual prayer. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We're laying the foundation here. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and we want to read starting at the 38th verse. Yes? So we know the story here. This is about David and Goliath, all right? He put on the helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even its grip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defy. Now, I think that this is a very important point for us to look at. He said, you're coming to me with sword and spear. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. David understood that. He understood that principle here. He said, you're coming to me with sword and spear, but I am not coming to you in the same way that you're coming to me. And we have to understand that there are going to be times that folks are going to come to us in a certain way, and there are enemies in essence, and maybe there are some things that they're doing that are not pleasing to us, but they're coming to us in a carnal way. Our responsibility is not to respond in a carnal way. We can't do that. He said, you're coming to me in one respect, sword and spear and all these things. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. He's got a stone. And one of the things that's very interesting to me, when I think about prayer, I can pray for anybody, anywhere, and it goes there. I never have to be in a confrontation with them. There's somebody that's against me on something. You know what the scripture tells us to do? To pray for our enemies. To love them and pray for them. Pray for those that persecute us. And I can do that when I'm not even in their presence. And so if I want to bring the giant down, so to speak, a situation that I'm confronting, and I want to bring it down, the way for me to bring it down is not to confront it, not face-to-face confrontation. It is through a simple act of prayer. Lord, first of all, I want to make certain that I'm in the right place that I need to be in, that I'm in the place and the position that I am praying an effectual prayer. I don't want just any kind of prayer. Lord, bless this and Lord, bless that. I want my prayer to hit the mark. And so what we have to understand, Lord, give me, sometimes we have to pray, Lord, give me the understanding of how to pray about this situation. Whatever the situation may be, give me the understanding, Lord, you put the words in my mouth. I cannot pray unless you show me how to pray, unless you give me what I need to be able to do that. So this, in essence, was what David was doing. David understood that that giant who everybody is afraid of and all the fear that he has, I'm going to go against him, but I'm not going against him as a little ruddy boy, 18, 19 years old. I'm not going against you as that. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, there is authority in the name of the Lord. And so what David understood when he took that sling and he took that rock and he put it in the sling and he threw it, he understood that, Lord, we're asking you to direct this prayer, this little stone, this thing that this giant, this big situation that I'm confronted with, Lord, bring it down. Lord, bring it down. And do you know what the Lord does? The Lord brings it down, doesn't he? Lord, help us. All right? Continue reading, please. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee. Now, you know what the scripture says? He says we're workers together with God. He did not say God is going to bring you down. He said, this day the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand. He had some faith. This hadn't even happened before. This is before the act, before he ever put the rock in the sling. But he knew and he understood and he believed that God was going to do something special that day. All right, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. It just wasn't for David, was it? So sometimes the things that the Lord allows us to be confronted with, and the things that seem like they're just great giants before us, it's not just that the Lord is doing this to test us. It is that the Lord wants everybody to know that there is a God in Israel. The Lord wants everyone to know that, all right? And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. All right? And this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. So the battle that you're fighting today, whatever that battle is, whatever the situation and circumstances are in that battle, let me tell you something about the battle. It's not even your battle. It's the Lord's battle. And let me tell you, the Lord has never lost a battle. The battle that you're fighting here in Missouri and wherever you're from, Wisconsin and the different places that you're from, is the same battle that I'm fighting in Texas. The same battle that any saint of God in India, Africa, wherever they're fighting, it's the same battle. And the battle is not yours, so we can understand, Lord, help me to realize and understand that what you want me to do is fight fair, fight as you would have me to fight. All right? It's not a carnal warfare. All right? The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So, saints, this is what we need to understand. When we're going into the battle, whatever the battle is that you're facing right now, let me tell you, you will have the victory if you just maintain your position and allow the Lord to fight that battle for you. You follow the Lord. Lord, give me the scriptures. Give me what I need. Give me the prayer life that I need. The victory can be and must be mine. The battle is not mine, but the victory belongs to me. All right? It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David, to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Now, I find that a very interesting scene here, that you have the army of the Philistines are in Iran. You've got this man that's probably as tall as the ceiling and this boy that's probably as tall as I am. Do you suppose that that would be a little bit intimidating? Of course it would be. But David understood that that spear and that sword and that shield is not even getting anywhere close to me. And he knew that. Whereas if there had it'd been in a hand-to-hand combat, then there would have been There would have been no chance for David. David would have had absolutely no chance against this great man. But let me tell you, but David understood that he's not even going to get in close distance to me. That spear is not even going to get in close distance. So what he did, here is this army that's on this mountain, and this giant is right, and all of this is behind him. It would be an intimidating scene for any of us, wouldn't it? Do you know the devil wants to intimidate us? He wants to make us where we are afraid to fight the battles that the Lord has presented to us. There are going to be some very difficult battles that you're going to have to fight and that I'm going to have to fight. David ran toward the Philistines, not just toward Goliath, but he ran toward the Philistines. I'm not afraid of them because I realize and understand that God is going to take me through here. And so he reaches in his... Read. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and he slung it. And he smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with prayer. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I never touched him. I never got close enough for him to touch me. I'm not putting myself in harm's way, but I'm not afraid of fighting saints. We can pray about anything and we can pray about everything. We can pray about the giants in our lives. We can pray about the armies that seem to be coming against us. And we can pray about that and the Lord will deliver them into our hands. We're not to be afraid. We're not to be dismayed. We're not to be discouraged by what we see. God wants you and me to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. All right? Read. He smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Now, you know, we say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. One of the weapons is the Word of God, right? And the Lord can give us His Word. And there are many times that we've been in battles and the Lord gave us a promise out of His Word that we can just stand on His promise and we can stand on it no matter what comes or goes, no matter what everybody else is doing, no matter how dark it looks, we can stand on the promises of God. He said there was no sword in his hand, in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut his head thereof. Therewith, and when the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. So how many people did it take to make the army of the Philistines turn around and run? How many people? One. And you know what? If you read back into the history, to the previous scriptures, what you'll find out is all the other men of Israel were afraid of Goliath. And in one sense, they had every right to be. He was intimidating. And part of his strategy was intimidation. He'd come out every day, and he'd say, one of you men come and fight me, and no one was willing to do that. But this young man, let me tell you something. My understanding of the scriptures, David was somewhere around, he was a little more than a teenager, just right at the top of his teenage years. So it doesn't take somebody that's been a well-seasoned saint to pray and actually make something happen, have an effectual prayer. It doesn't take somebody that's well-seasoned. But David was out there with the sheep and with the bears and the lions and all of these things, and David was praying. David was taking that sling and he was learning how to use it. And he was learning how to make it go directly where he wanted it to go. That's all he had to do. And the Lord used what David was doing there in his private practice when no one around him knew that he was that good with the sling. Nobody knew that. He wasn't bragging about it. And in the same way, the Lord wants to use you, the private prayer. Saints, pray. We're in a situation that we need prayer. We need Prayer warriors. It used to be that we had many, many people that we could turn to. Old-time saints, old sisters and brothers. And when we got into trouble, we would call them for prayer. I used to call my mother all the time. I can't do that anymore. But let me tell you, what I've learned is that God wants me to be more effective in my prayer life. And if I'm more effective in my prayer life, then I can pick up the mantle that those that have gone on, that they have dropped, I can pick up that mantle and I can part the sea and I can part the brooks and I can make things happen by the grace of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us. So what I want to say, and I believe what the Lord has wanted to say in this whole series of meetings, is that it's not just for them. It's not just for the old time saints. It's for me. The Lord wants you and me to have something on hand that we can fight the enemy of our souls with. Lord, help us. All right. Let's go to Luke, the 11th chapter. And I want to start reading at the first verse. I've preached on the subject of prayer on many occasions. And as I was praying about it during this time, the Lord let me know He wanted me to preach on that this morning. So I want to turn to the 11th chapter of Luke, and I start reading at the first verse, please. Came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. Now I want to stop there for a moment, because He says, as it came to pass that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He stopped praying, one of the disciples came up to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, again, what we're talking about is effectual prayer. We want to have a prayer that is effective, a prayer that actually hits the mark. Sometimes we get down and we pray and we really don't, Lord, I don't know what to say. And there are some times, and what we often say, and it's true, prayer is just simply the sincere desire of the heart. You tell the Lord what's on your mind. You talk the simplicity of it. And I want to say this to every one of us. The simplicity of prayer is you just tell the Lord what's on your mind. You can just talk to the Lord like I'm talking to you. You can just talk to Him and the Lord hears and He answers our prayers. So it's not really a complicated thing that we have, but I believe when the disciples were looking at Jesus and they knew that everything that Jesus prayed for, something happened. And so we realized that there was an effectiveness about Jesus' prayer, and there was an effectiveness about John's prayer. And we thought, and as you think about it, you thought, well, most of us, how did we learn to pray? Did somebody literally teach us how to pray? Was there someone, or did we just kind of pick it up from what we heard other people? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us picking it up and praying as we've heard somebody else pray. And then as it becomes personal to us, as we are in our private devotions, as we're in our private prayer life, we begin to pray and ask the Lord, and we kind of get our own style. But this is not just what they're talking about. Lord, teach me how to pray. And so the Lord goes on and He says here, He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, if you take that prayer, that's the Lord's Prayer. We find it in Matthew's. We find it there as well. And so when you take this passage of Scripture and you read it, this is a prayer. It's not a very long prayer, is it? And you can say it in a few seconds. It doesn't take a minute for you to say it. And one of the things that I've often said to the people that I minister to, you should never leave your house in the morning without praying. Period. Well, Brother Darrell, you don't understand. I'm running late. But this prayer only takes a few seconds. And if you're late, okay, just be 30 seconds later. It's not going to hurt anything, is it? But when we start finding excuses not to pray, let me tell you, there are going to be some things about our lives that we're going to find excuses about as well. So I've learned in my own life, there have been times that I haven't had a long time. I can't pray for an hour, but I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to say, Lord, you know what my day holds. I don't see what's going to happen today, but I'm asking you to direct my day. Have mercy on me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Something as simple as that. But I won't walk out of the door without at least praying and asking the Lord and reading the scripture. How long does it take to read that scripture? A few seconds? Lord, give me something that I can feed on during the day. And let me tell you, what you'll find is that your spiritual life will be your victories. You'll have greater victories. When you realize and you make up in your mind, prayer is an important part of my daily life. Daily life. Prayer is an important part of my victory. The only way that David was able to bring down Goliath, if we use that analogy, it was through prayer. And it didn't take very long for it to happen, did it? Probably if you looked at the battle that David was fighting, that battle that he threw that stone, it was probably over in a few minutes. If that long. And he cut off his head. All of this was done, I believe, in less than 5 minutes. So do you realize that if we take the time to pray and ask the Lord about the things that we're confronted and the giants that we're confronted with, then the Lord will give us, it doesn't take a long time, the Lord will give us the victory that we need in a very short period of time. Now, I'm not going to say all of our battles are going to be fought and won in 5 minutes. Because that's not the case. But it all starts when we are consistent in our prayer life. We're consistent. Now, here's some points that we have to understand. He says here, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, it's a very important thing for us to understand that the Lord is our Father. He said, so this is the first thing that we have to understand. There is a Father, and he says, where is that Father? In heaven. So, there's a few points about this that the Lord's given me, and I've preached on this subject before, so if you heard it, bear with me, but I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to talk to you about today. All right, so he says, our Father. So he puts here that there is a relationship that I have a Father. It's not just somebody else's Father. It's the fact that I can get a lot more done when I was a child. Well, my son, those that have small children, you are going to get a lot more from your Father than you're going to get from me. Right? So one of the things that we have to understand is, it's our Father. This is the first thing that he said. To have effectual prayer, we have to understand that there has to be a relationship between God the Father and us. It didn't just say, Father which art in heaven. It says, our Father which art in heaven. So the Lord Jesus Christ is making us understand that there is a combination. What is mine is yours. He's our big brother. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. So our Father, so we say, our Father which art in heaven. There are some fathers that there's a father in the White House, right? Our president has some children. And I'm certain that the fact of where his address is, he has a lot more to give his children than any of us have to give ours. Right? It's simply because of where he is stationed. So the higher up you are in this, the more you're stationed and the more more that father has available to him because he's in heaven. All right? So the Lord, Father, our Father which art in heaven, it's not just a simple thing that is of no value when the Lord tells us our Father to pray this way. When you're praying, now keep in mind, he's saying, teach us how to pray. And so here he says, our Father which art in heaven. So he gives us the principle, the basic principle, that there has to, first of all, be a relationship between me and the Father, and there has to be a close relationship. So that one of the first things that we are responsible for doing is, Lord, give me a close connected relationship with you, and that way I know what you'll do for me. So I know as a child there are certain things that I could ask my father for, and I knew if it was in my father's ability to give it to me, he would do that. And then there were certain things that we would know, daddy can't give me this, or that he can't buy me a car that's a $50,000 car. He can't do it. The car that he had wasn't $50,000. So he's not going to buy that for me, is he? So we have an understanding when we realize who God is and we're wanting to pray an effectual and a fervent and effective prayer, we have to understand who God is and we understand our relationship with Him. We also understand the fact that He can do anything. All right? Now, this is where we don't clearly understand. And if we worked on that, if we just stopped here and I said, work on our Father which art in heaven and what that means to you. And what it truly means, what God means by that, as we meditate on that, then I believe the Lord will open and expand our understanding. And some of the things that we think, well, God can do it, but will He do it for me? I think some of that will be removed. And then we'll have an understanding, Lord, what is your will concerning me in this situation? And so when we understand the will of our Father which is in heaven, this is what Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what he prayed about, the Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So we have to understand that our Father has a will. There's something that he wants in the situation. And when we understand that we have my will has to be submitted to his will, then it makes it easier for the things that I'm asking for. Because what we have to understand is when we ask for the will of the Lord and his will is the same as my will is the same as his will, do you suppose that God has the ability, the authority, whatever it is that he needs to give to make his own will happen? But what he wants, what we have to understand is, Lord, I need my will to be your will. And then when my will is aligned with your will, then really what you're doing, I'm not getting just what I want, I'm getting what you want. I have more power when it's like that, when my will is aligned with his. But if my will is over here and the Lord's will is over there, I can pray all that I want to and it'll never happen. Because there's something wrong with the relationship and my understanding of that relationship. Jesus prayed in the garden and he went back 3 times and he prayed. And let me tell you what it was. Jesus had a will and God had a will. And what he said, Lord, not my will. And there was a struggle, if you would allow me to say it, a struggle that the Lord Jesus Christ had. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, I don't want to go to the cross. If there's some way for me not to go to the cross, let it happen, Lord. And I know he knew all about his Father. He knew the relationship that he had with his Father. And he knew that there was a possibility that there would be some other way, that maybe some other way that he hadn't thought of, that God knew about. And he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. So we have to understand that we must know what the will of God is in everything that we're praying about. Lord, help me to submit my will to yours, align my will with yours, and now what God is really doing is making his own will happen. So you have more power that way, right? You can't twist God and force him and make him do what you want him to do. But when your will is aligned with his, then what you're asking for is what God wants already. And so do you suppose if he has the power to give it to you, do you suppose he's going to give it to you? So sometimes what we have to do, we have to work on what we're desiring. All right. So our Father, which art in heaven, says, hallowed be thy name. So what does hallowed mean? Holy. What else? Reverence. We want to lift your name up. We talked about let us exalt the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And there are some times that we have to lift and exalt the name. Hallowed be thy name. And one of the things that we find in our generation today is that this is something that is not taking place. There are things, you know, when I was a little boy, there were certain things that we couldn't say. My mother wouldn't let us say. My mother and father wouldn't let us say. We couldn't say, I'm going to use the words. We couldn't say godly. You remember what we used to say those things? We don't want don't take the Lord's name in vain. Hallowed be the name of the Lord. And there are people in our generation that takes the Lord's name in vain. There are words that we can't even say. But they take the Lord's name in vain. And sometimes they just say, oh God. Oh God. Somehow, oh God. Jesus Christ. And it's generally, I'm saying that, and I need to say that. But generally what happens is there's a name that the Lord is saying, don't take my name in vain. Hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. So honored be my name. So don't, it's not just a simple thing when somebody takes the Lord's name in vain. And so what we have to do is exalt his name. And so why exalt his name? Because if you're saying, oh, Jesus Christ, for something that's negative, and you're always aligning it with something that's negative, when you come to pray, it's going to have a certain effect. There's going to be something implanted in your mind that there's this negativity about this name, and what is this name able to do? This is why we've got to be very careful how we use the name of the Lord. It is not just, the Lord said, I won't leave you guiltless, who take my name in vain. You're not guiltless. So be very careful in using the name of the Lord, because there is power in the name of the Lord. Remember, David fought his battle. He said, I'm not coming to you in a carnal sense. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. There is power in the name of Christ. There is power in the name of God. Well, you say, Brother Darrell, listen, what are you talking about? We say when you ask anything in my name, he will give it to you. All right? So we have that. What does that mean when we say that you ask anything in the name of the Lord, He will give it to you? I want us to turn to, for a moment, if you'll, you will, to Isaiah 6, 9 and 6. Let's read the, someone get that for us. And I want to read, 9 and 6. Familiar text of scripture. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name. His name. Now I want to take into consideration what this is talking about. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Okay, so his name shall be called Wonderful. All right? Wonderful Counselor. One is the Mighty God. So here what we find is there's a scripture in Philippians that speaks about he said he made himself of no reputation. But he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. And so what this shows us is here he's the Mighty God. So here is his name, the name of Jesus Christ. There is a oneness with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. So here this scripture, there shall, a child shall be born and his name shall be called Wonderful. How wonderful is the Lord? He's wonderful, isn't he? Have you ever needed somebody to counsel you? Have you ever needed somebody that, and I use the counsel in this regard, a counsel like, you know, folks go to the psychiatrist and they lay on the couch and they tell them all about their problems. Have you ever felt like you wanted to tell somebody about your problems, whatever it is that you were going through? Do you realize that the one person that clearly understands everything that you're going through is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's a counselor. And he's that kind of a counselor. Not only is he that kind of a counselor, but he's our advocate. He's the kind of a counselor of law that if there is any issues that we need, we can go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to the Father and the Son and we can get what we need. Everything about him is wonderful. Everything that he's ever done is wonderful. And so when we understand that there is power in that name, then we can, Lord, we learn to pray a more effectual, fervent prayer. Because we have a greater understanding that I'm related to Him. It's not just your Father. It's not just their Father. It's my Father. And He's in a position, He's in a heavenly position to give me anything that I need or anything that I want. The Scripture says something about that He's provided us all things that belong to life and godliness. He's made available to us all of those things. There are going to be some times that we need it, isn't it? All right? All right, let's go to Philippians 2 and 9. Pray for us. Wherefore God is also... let's just read a little bit more. Let's start at the third verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Do you do this? Lord, help us to do that. All right. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he understood that that was the will of God, that he dies on the cross. And he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. So he is our example. And where did he humble himself? Do you not realize that the Garden of Gethsemane was one of the greatest battles that were ever fought? The only reason that Jesus was able to stay on the cross is because he prayed and he won the victory there on his knees before he ever got up on that cross. And let me tell you what we're going to do. If we're going to have the victories that we need, and there are some times that the Lord allows us to be crucified among men and whatnot, if we're ever going to have the victory that we need, that victory is not going to happen while we're hanging on the cross. That victory is going to happen before we ever get there. And this is why we have to have an effectual prayer life. This is why we have to understand that there are weapons of our warfare, and one of the greatest weapons of our warfare is the fact that we can pray and we can have an effective and effectual prayer. And our prayer life, it has to change. Lord, help us to have the kind of prayer life that we need to have. All right, read. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. So here he's saying here that he gave him a name which is above every name. So there is no name, and this is why we don't take the name of the Lord God in vain, because it's a name that is above every name, every knee shall bow. What does it say? Things in heaven? Read that again.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Yes.
Things in heaven.
Things in earth.
Things in earth.
Things under the earth. Harder to do this when you're so close. Okay, things under earth. Okay? So we'll just put under. Alright, so it says here, heaven, at that name, at the name of Jesus, we're talking about, again, we're praying in the name of Jesus. So here, he says, that was the first thing that he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the things in heaven, so that means the angels and all things in heaven are subject to God. Subject to this name. Every knee shall bow. If it has knees, it's going to bow. The things on earth, this is men, mankind. These are demons. Things under the earth. So God has authority over all of these things in heaven, man, things on earth, things under the earth. So when we call out the name of Jesus, then we have power, we have authority to take that which is in heaven and bring it down to earth. And we have power and authority to when men are doing something against us, we have power and authority to pray and ask God in the name of Jesus to handle the situation. When the devil, and let me tell you, I don't believe there's anyone here that the devil isn't fighting in some way right now. That you're not going through a battle. You're going through a battle, right? But the authority of the name of Jesus is an authority over demons. It's over the devil. You can be delivered. If you need to be delivered today, you can be delivered. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're fighting, if you're demon-possessed, do you realize that there is power and authority in the name of Jesus? He wants you to know that. He wants you to understand that. And he wants his church to realize that in order to have effectual prayer, we need to know when he says, our Father, when he says, teach us to pray, and he begins to pray, he teach them, our Father which art in heaven, that is more than just a little prayer thing that we learn and a song that we put music to, a poem that we put music to. This is something that in the essence, down in the depths of it, if we can get a hold of what he's really talking about here, we can have a much more effective and effectual prayer life. Lord, help us. All right? All right. So, now, I want to bring out a point here. Did you read all of that? Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And let me tell you what the devil is going to do. The devil is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every one of us is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to bow. Every knee is going to bow. I don't know what the devil looks like, but I know he has knees. And he's going to bow before the Lord. All right? Now, when we talk about a name, let's see, just talk about a name. We will... I'll use Brother Randy. Brother Randy, all right? Because I know him, Brother Randy. When we say a name, what does that mean? To Sister Tammy, it means something completely different than it does to everybody else, right? All right? So to her, he's a husband, right? There are certain privileges that she has and no one else has, not even the children. There's certain things, there's certain relationship that she has with him that no one else has, all right? Because that's what that name means to her, all right? But he's also a father, right?
and to his sons and daughter, what we find is that that means something altogether different to them than it does to me. Right? All right, but he's also a grandfather, right? So that means something different to those individuals that his grandchildren, right? And he's a farmer. I don't know what all he is, but he's a farmer. And those that know him as a farmer, he's an uncle, brother, I suppose. I don't know if he has any. His brother. All right. He's a cousin. Cousin. He's a friend. What else is he? Brother-in-law. All right. What else? Son. All right. And also he's a, has a, he's a saint. Right? Saint. Trustee.
President.
Teacher. President. Yep. Neighbor. He's a neighbor. All right. Excuse the way I'm writing this. What else? Boss. All right. Well, this gives us quite a bit of understanding of what this, so when you call, when you say this name, there is a lot of things that it means to a lot of different people. And so when we, when we're talking about praying in the name of Jesus, are we talking about praying in a certain name? What we have to understand, this man right here are multiple things to multiple people. When we look at his, the way he is as a boss is completely different than the way he is as a father, even though he's the same person. Or the way that he is as an uncle is different than the way he is as a grandfather. Or the way that he is as a son is completely different than the way he is as a trustee. But all of it, he's all of these things. He's everything that we have put here. I don't know, president of something, but he's
president of the board.
Okay, I don't know, president of the United States. We might not be able to go that far, but he is all of these things. All right, and every person that is going to deal with him are going to look at him from, the neighbors are going to look at him from a different perspective than his sons look at him, than his mother and father look at him, than his wife looks at him. But he's all of those. He's multidimensional, right? So in the same way, what we need to understand is when we're praying and he says here, hallowed be thy name, this is why we don't denigrate the name of the Lord. This is why we don't say, oh God and oh Jesus Christ. We don't say that because he says, hallowed be thy name, because it means more than just some negative connotation that somebody wants to do. The enemy is endeavoring to do that so that we can have this negative thought in our mind that we, rather than associating God with victory, we associate him with defeat and things that are not positive. All right? And this is why as saints of God, we've got to be careful. When someone starts using the name of the Lord in vain, we've got to be careful about that. We've got to be careful about embracing it. All right? So this is a message that the Lord spoke with me some time ago. And the Lord was wanting, he said, my people need to understand this in a greater way, because what we do, we just get down and we pray and we don't clearly understand what we're praying about and why we're praying and to whom we're praying and what effect and what authority it has when we pray. And so it may be a simple prayer and simple words, but when I understand the relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father and I understand the relationship that whatever the situations that I'm dealing with have, they also have a relationship with Him. Everything that I'm praying about has a relationship with the Lord in some way or another. Maybe positive, maybe negative, but in some way or another, those things have a relationship with God as well. And so if I understand my relationship with God and I understand that, Lord, I'm praying according, first of all, to your will, I'm praying according to your will. Now, Lord, put your hand on this situation. If this is what you want done, Lord, put your hand on the situation. Sometimes the Lord wants us to, there's a scripture that speaks about, command ye me. There are things that the Lord wants us to speak out. That he doesn't want, I'm going to give it to you, but you've got to ask for it. He said, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You have not, why? Because you don't ask. And then you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss to assume it up on your own lust. If I were praying according to God's will, Lord, your will be done, I would get, and if I could really get to that place, I really believe I could have everything that I want. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to get there. I'm saying it's necessary for us to understand what we're dealing with. Lord, if I can get to the place that my will is completely, wholly given over to yours, then whatever it is, this is why it's saying, if you ask it, you'll have it if you ask it in my name, because ultimately now I understand that I have to ask it according to the will of God, and I have to understand that there is authority that the Lord has, and that the Lord wants me to understand that He'll give me what I ask for if I ask it in the right way. But the right way must be with my understanding and with my understanding of His will, His authority, His position. I have to understand those things to have an effective prayer. All right, so we're going to talk about the Lord for a moment. We're talking about a weapon, and you know, probably some of you are hunters. I've been hunting. I used to hunt when I was a little boy. Birds, had a little BB gun, a pellet gun, 22. And I was fairly decent. I wasn't bad, but I'm sure I'm not as good as some of you that's got several rifles and that kind of thing. You like to go out of skeet shooting. I'm going to miss half of them. I'm going to hit some of them. But I tell you this, the more you practice, the better you get. When we're talking about David, David was out there where nobody was around. What did David have to do but practice throwing rocks? There are sometimes, you know, there are some little old ladies. My wife is on a prayer line every morning. There are little old ladies, and I love little old ladies. In their 70s and 80s. Kim is one of the youngest ones. And they pray from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Now, every day, except for sometimes it's a little less and sometimes a little more. And sometimes it's not all prayer. Sometimes it's visiting and whatnot. But you know what? I've learned something about that. Prayer works. Prayer works. And I tell you what I've learned. I've learned that when you need something to happen, you put it on the prayer line. And the Lord answers so many prayers in that way. Now, chocolate on my sleeve. All right, that's a wife for you. All right. All right, so we're going to talk about in the name of Jesus. He said it's a name that every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. It's a name that's exalted. I'm moving toward my conclusion. Appreciate your patience. What does that mean to you? What does it mean? It says, thy name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So when we say, what is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's our Savior. He's a Redeemer. Okay. Friend. He's a brother. Rose of Sharon. Healer. Protector. Creator. Counselor. Mighty God. Teacher. Father. Everlasting Father. What else? Mediator. What else? Judge. He's a judge. All right. And we can just continue. But for the sake of this, we've got plenty. Just like we talked about Brother Randy behind his back. You weren't here, but we were talking about you. And just like we were talking about him, we're talking about the Lord, what he is. And in all of these situations, he is a victor. He is a victor. He had victory over death, hell, and the grave, all of these things. So when we're praying, when we understand that, he redeemed us. And he redeemed us from what? From our sins. He is a great creator. And this is why, and so when we understand who he is, and we understand when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we understand that the situations that we're dealing with, there's a reason for those, that those situations also have a relationship to this name. Remember when there was two points I want to make out. One was that there was someone, the sons of Sceva, I believe it was, where they were speaking about, and they were saying that they went to a man that was possessed with a demon, and he said, "Paul, I know." He said, "We command you to come out in the name of Jesus," right? And why, what happened? Did they come out? No, why did they not come out? All right, they said, "Who are you? We know Paul. We know." He said, "I command that you come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." He said, "We know Paul. We know Jesus, but who are you?" And so, what we have to understand here is, remember how we were talking about there is a relationship that has to be. That if there is a relationship, then we can connect with the relationship. And once we understand the relationship, then the devils understand that relationship as well. They realize that if Paul has said it, or if Jesus has said it, that they have this relationship together, and we have a relationship with this Jesus too, that when he commands us to come out, we come out. They understood that, but they realized that you first have to have this relationship. Remember when the disciples were on the water, and they were coming over the sea, on the sea, and it started to be boisterous, and what happened? Why did he calm the water? Why did the water obey him? All right, because he created it. And when he spoke to that as the creator, they understood that the waters, now we can't do it, but the waters that are boisterous, and the winds, they say, even who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Well, they have to obey him, because when we speak in the name of Jesus, they understand him not just as from the standpoint of a redeemer, they understand him from the standpoint of a creator. He created us, and we have to submit to the creator. When he tells us to do something, we must do it. And so when we look at this, when we say praying in the name of Jesus, it's more than just what meets the eye. And we've all had this, and I've brought out this point too. Those that have young children or young brothers and sisters, you know, you get to be of age, and your little brother wants to go with you. "Mom, can I go with my big brother?" And the big brother doesn't want him to go. Doesn't want him to go. We've all been in those kinds of places, haven't we? And no, you can't go, the brother says. And then they go to the mom or dad, and he says, "Dad, can I go with brother?" And dad says, "Yes, you can go with him." Now, what happens with that little child? That little child comes in and puts his hands on the hip. "Daddy said it." And what happens? They get to go, whether you want them to go or not. And you know why they get to go? They get to go because they now have the authority of the Father. They have the Father's authority. It's not just them that you can whip around and do whatever you want to do. Now they have authority that you don't have any right to cross over. And all they have to do is say, "Oh yeah, I'm going." "No, you're not." "Yeah, I'm going. Dad, he said he." And all dad does is comes in, stands behind the little one. "He's going with you." And it's done. So what we have to understand when we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," what happens when we're speaking to things, there are some times that the Lord gives us his authority, and on his authority, it's not on our own authority. We say, "I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It is not because of me that I'm commanding. It's not me with the authority. It is that now the authority of the Father has been transferred to me, and I have power to resist whatever it is. This is why when temptations come, when the situations in our lives come, we need the Lord. "Lord, have mercy on me. And Lord, give me the power and the authority to be able to stand against it and to push against it." And the Lord gives us that authority, and we can command the temptations. We can command whatever it is that we're fighting. We can command it to go because of the authority of the Lord. The government is on his shoulder. So he's whatever we need him to be. And this is just a short list. This is not even tapping the surface. But one of the things that I'd like for us to understand, we're talking about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And one of those great weapons is prayer. And if we understand what prayer really means, we understand the essence of it. We understand, Lord, that it means more than just when it says this nice little scripture, "Hallowed be thy name," is more than just the nice poem that's been put to music. The Lord wants us, and if you go on down and you turn Matthew, I believe Matthew, the sixth chapter, brings
brings it out a little bit more, the ones that we're probably more familiar with. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom. There's so much into that passage of scripture that we really could preach the whole meeting on that one scripture and bring out the points that the Lord wants us to bring out to, so that we can understand that it's much more important and it's much more deep than what we have ever thought it was. And so what I'd like to bring out this point is that the Lord wants to be everything to you that you need. And He is everything to you that you need. And if we can continue to believe this, and we can ask the Lord, Lord, give me what I need and give me the understanding that I need to realize that I'm not fighting a carnal warfare. I'm not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Give me that understanding, and the Lord gives us that understanding, then saints will be much more powerful than what we are. We want to be effective, don't we? So the scripture says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he said, Elias was a man of like passions as we are, yet he prayed. And I believe that what Elias prayed was a prayer that was deeper than the prayers that I'm saying this about myself too. I'm not saying that I've got it all and I've learned it all. But I'm saying that it went deeper. There was this understanding, that this faith that he had in what God could do and what God was and what God wanted to do and what God's will was. He understood all of that. And he understood his relationship with him. And he prayed that it might not rain for 3.5 years. And you know what? It did not rain. And why was the rain withheld? Because he had the authority of the Father. And the Father was the creator of the rain. And he said, it's not going to happen. And when God says it's not going to happen, guess what? It ain't happening. May the Lord help us. And my desire is that we learn a deeper understanding of prayer. Pray for me.